Of course, the problem in part is it takes a while. Even if they do good changes, it takes a while for those changes to work themselves out into the market. Meanwhile, everybody's suffering, right? Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2.
There are three main cost drivers for your premium, your property insurance premium. One is the hurricanes that happen. I can't control the weather. We can't legislate the weather. But if it costs 40% more to rebuild your home and your home is worth twice as much as it was in 2019, that cost is going to be input into your premium. The other is litigation. We've done extreme amounts of work on curtailing frivolous litigation and trying to curtail that fraud. The third is the cost of reinsurance. That is something that we could potentially expand our role at the state in, but that would come at the cost of several billion dollars. So I worked on a policy this year that did not pass, but that is a policy on reinsurance because that's a significant cost for our first party property insurers. But I do want that constituent to also know we have seven new companies coming to the market this year, and our Office of Insurance Regulations reporting either stagnation or reduction in premiums this year, on top of the fact that we did do in our budget that has not yet been signed, knock on wood, a remittance in taxes on your premium that will hopefully show some savings for homeowners.
Yeah, and that reinsurance part is one that even I didn't really understand that well. I knew the term got thrown around, but that's when insurers insure their insurance. You know, it's we could be on the hook for $1 billion worth of losses here, so we'll go to an outside organization like Lloyd's of London or something, and we'll buy an insurance policy from them against our own losses of $1 billion. So they, of course, pay, you know, an amount in order to get that insurance. But if that reinsurance goes really high, then they have to pay more in order to reinsure against their own bad luck, which is why you insure your house. They're insuring their insurance company. And then obviously that cost has to be passed on to somewhere. So that's another problem that we're facing right now. That's the reinsurance issue. Joel Rubman, I was encouraged, frankly, from some of the optimism that Alex had and that even Doug Broxson had and that Joel Rubman expressed about, you know, things that have been done and how the market and what's been done before as well, because I haven't lived here long enough to know this history. But apparently it was like this with malpractice, medical malpractice insurance rates in the state of Florida. He's a doctor, of course, like 26 years or whatever, and he would know.
I have a unique perspective on this because I tell my constituents that I've already lived through an insurance crisis because as a physician, you know, Florida dealt with a malpractice insurance crisis back when I was training in Daytona Beach. And as a matter of fact, as a family practice resident, my teachers were telling me that I wouldn't be able to practice in the Florida Panhandle because I wouldn't be able to afford the malpractice insurance. Now, thankfully, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, our state legislature, they took action and they actually introduced some of the same exact policies, the same exact approach that we just took towards homeowners insurance back in our special session of 2022. So I have seen this approach work. By the time I graduated from my residency, my malpractice premium wasn't even my biggest expenditure. So what I tell my constituents back in District 3, I say, the fix has already been applied. Now you just simply have to wait for it to work. You know, the changes we're talking about, you won't see an effect in 1 month or 3 months. But I can tell you one thing. I was actually dropped from my homeowner's insurance back in March. You know, so we're now a good couple months after our quote-unquote fix. When I hit the open market to look for homeowners insurance, I found the same plan at a 50% rate reduction. So I, you know, my advice to constituents is get out there, shop around. I used to pay $8,000 a year for my homeowners insurance. This year I'm paying $4,000.
Wow.
So I know the changes are working. I'm living proof of it.
I mean, I know not the story you hear from a lot of people. Okay. And, you know, like I said, I told you we're having to change insurances just because, you know, our insurer went away. Same thing. But and I haven't seen this story happen to us. But it's pretty encouraging if that's what Joel Rubman has experienced. It might not be the only one. So if you have companies coming back in, if you have possibly, you know, rates declining and you have some of the changes that the legislature has put in finally really, you know, coming into effect, maybe we're on the verge of a change with regards to the cost of premiums or the availability of alternatives if one company decides that they're not going to, you know, treat you all that well. There's also an issue in this that people bring up, I think, frequently, which is, you know, like I live in a place that's not a flood zone. Okay. If there's flooding at my house, the county doesn't exist anymore. You know, like that. Okay. And so, you know, some people think, well, look, why do I need to pay insurance against damage events that don't affect like where I live? You know, why not make the people who live out on the beach pay for all of that stuff? That's a very common thing people will say is, you know, I live 5 miles or 10 miles from the beach. Why should I have to offset their insurance because they're the ones who bring the risk upon us with their very expensive homes and their very dangerous places? And Jeff Weeks, you know, obviously the host for the Legislative Review, brought this up. And I thought Doug Broxson actually had a really good answer to us. I want to let you hear that.
This person is saying, she is actually saying, I'm from Niceville. I'm tired of paying for beachfront second homeowners insurance when I have little or no access to the beach. I think she's implying that she's, you know, taking the load for people who are living right on the water versus somebody who's farther inland. Any thoughts, comments, or ways to deal with that?
The actual numbers show that that is not correct, that you have a proportionate number of losses inland as you do on the coast. Remember, the coast, over the last 15 years since I've been in this area, we had to elevate and build up stronger. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have many flood claims like you did before. Windstorm, if you have an Ivan, or in this case, we had Sally, that was more of a water storm than it was a windstorm. Those things should not, for a hardened house, as the judge mentioned, should not be impacted by a storm. That's our goal, is to harden homes so people do not have losses and premium should go down.
Yeah, which I thought was an interesting answer. And, you know, he's right that, again, you know, I live in a place where, you know, if my house is flooding, then something else has horribly, horribly gone wrong. Even though I don't live all that far from some water, but it's just, you know, extraordinarily unlikely for something to happen. But flooding is not the only kind of damage. You know, you have, and of course, if a hurricane comes over your house, or if wind damage or whatever, trees get blown down. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. And so just because you're inland doesn't mean that you are not at risk. And just because you think that it's people on the beach who really ought to pay the risk, well, those homes have often been, you know, rebuilt, hardened, made. I mean, how many times have you gone out on the beach, whether it's Orange Beach or, you know, Navarre, or whether it's in Pensacola, and you notice that, you know, 80% of the houses are on stilts, a couple of lots are vacant, let's say 10% of the lots are vacant, I'm just making up numbers, but, you know, roughly, and then 10% of the homes look like they were there since 1968. Well, you know, the expensive homes are up on stilts and they're hardened, right? The old homes that survived, they're not that expensive anyway by comparison. And then there's the empty lot. So I don't know. It's a kind of a bias that I had found myself also having. And I've heard even a couple of not people who are on this panel, but other local politicians kind of make this case about, well, why do I have to pay for, you know, stuff? I'm in a safe zone. Well, you know, A, nobody's really in a safe zone. And B, you're probably not actually paying for them because they've done things to make things better. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting conversation, obviously, to talk about an issue that is affecting an awful lot of people. And, you know, the fact that they seem to be optimistic about the changes that are in progress, even if we haven't all seen this massive drop in prices that maybe we were hoping for, it sounds like we might be turning a corner. And I certainly hope that's the case. 522 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I know nothing, nothing.
Something's wrong because my mind is fading. Everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting. Temperatures dropping.
Saturday was the busiest day we've had at the airport in 5 years. So I think we've broken that now a few times, but that's pre-pandemic. Going back to 2019, we had 6,700 people screened through the airport. And that's bigger than any holiday day the last 5 years. Any day since 2019, Saturday was our busiest day of all time.
Busiest day of all time. That's, well, you know, you wonder, is the challenges that we see at the airport, are they, you know, the result of anything out of the ordinary? And the answer is yes. But even with extraordinary volume at the airport.
Despite that count, our average wait time at security was under 8 minutes. And the longest hour by hour wait that we have is 20. So if you're there an hour before your flight, even though we ask you to be there too, you would have made your flight, you know, with the maximum amount of time during that Saturday. So proud of our team, proud of the effort that we've got going out there. And again, very appreciative to TSA to continue to work with us and invest more resources than they had previously.
8 minutes, outrageous. Actually, you know, eight minutes is actually feels like a lot when you're standing there. But yeah, I think most of us recognize that 8 minutes is not too bad. Although, also, just for context, and this would be for anybody who's under the age of, what, about 35? So 9/11 was 23 years ago, right? So let's say, yeah, so if you were under 10, you probably don't remember. But so anybody under the age of 35, the way it used to work at an airport, and I know this is hard for those of you who are too young to remember personally to believe, but you would drive up to the airport. I mean, if you were really planning ahead, you'd get there a half hour before your flight. Like, if you were really trying to be careful.
Right.
you know, to allow plenty of time. You would, now I don't know about here in Pensacola, but in other places, you know, you would pull up to basically the front of the airport. You might park at the front of the airport, you know, or you'd park just across the street in, you know, a surface lot or something. You'd walk in, you'd drop your bag, you'd walk through maybe a metal detector.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe not. With your cigarette lit. And you'd go get on the plane and you'd sit anywhere because that was even before there was a smoking and a non-smoking section.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it, and everybody could come with you to the gate. And they would give you your hugs. And then if somebody was coming in, you'd go walk out to the gate and you'd meet people at the gate and everybody, I mean, that's just how it worked. Then 9/11, and now all this crap. This insane, ridiculous, absurd, which is supposed to keep you safe.
Right.
Okay. But just in case you forget what it used to be like or you didn't know what it used to be like, John, you've been around, you're about my age.
Oh, yes.
About
oh,
right.
Yes, you are correct. And my dad used to walk me directly on the plane.
Absolutely, yeah. No,
he didn't have to have a ticket. He didn't have to have anything. But now we're taking off our shoes, and they're wanding old people. And I'm like, well, wait a second.
Exactly. It was an incredibly different era. And again, if you're not old enough, you just don't remember. And you maybe believe, like, are you kidding?
No, kidding?
It was just like that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, President Biden is now reportedly working on an executive action that would grant temporary amnesty for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants. Reports say the White House is set to launch a parole-in-place plan for illegal immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens as soon as today. That plan would protect them from deportation, grant a work permit, and could eventually provide a pathway to citizenship. Over 175,000 marijuana convictions in Maryland have now been pardoned. Maryland Governor Westmore signed the executive order issuing those pardons yesterday, called it the most sweeping state-level pardon in any state in American history. And challenges to a potential TikTok ban are going to be heard by a U.S. appeals court later this summer. A law passed earlier this year would call for ByteDance to sell TikTok by January 19th or have it banned in the U.S. The oral arguments on the legal challenges to that are now set to be heard in September, September 16th.
Can I give you a slice of the whole TikTok ban? You know, Vivek Murthy, Surgeon General, is now calling for warning labels on social media. Fine, good, do it. I don't care. I mean, anything. Social media is bad, and it is especially bad for young people. I mean, it's bad for adults. If we banned all of social media, we'd be better off, period. You can't even argue with it. We'd just be better off.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But if you ban it for kids or restrict kids' access to it or make it scarier for them to get on because you got a big warning label, I mean, just better, okay? But I'll give you one little, like, weird story fact. This, you know, if you're not already convinced about TikTok, okay, this has nothing to do with China. This has everything to do with misinformation and stupidity. You have a study or survey has been done by the Orlando Health Cancer Institute here in Florida. 1 in 7 adults under the age of 35 believe sunscreen is more dangerous to them and their skin than direct sun exposure.
Dude, what? You're kidding.
23%, one quarter of under 35-year-olds who get their news from TikTok. I'm saying that's where they get their news from TikTok.
Right.
Believe that drinking water and staying hydrated will prevent sunburns.
Unbelievable.
Because they get their medical advice from
TikTok.
TikTok is killing people.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The Biden administration announces new legal protections for some immigrants married to American citizens.
They must have lived in the U.S. for at least 10 years. If they are approved, they'll get 3 years to apply for permanent residency, and during that time, they'll be able to get permits to work. The administration estimates they'll be able to target 500,000 spouses.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The White House is pushing back against characterization of the president as wandering off or freezing during events, saying the videos are deceptively edited or being lied about.
Right-wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre. The Boston Celtics are NBA champions, beating Dallas 106-88 to take their series 4-1. It's Boston's 18th title, breaking a tie for the most with the LA Lakers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 78 degrees. It's mostly cloudy today, and there's a high chance that a tropical depression is now forming in the Gulf of Mexico.
The system in the Gulf is probably not going to have much impact on South Florida, and the system in the Atlantic, people should watch that, but most likely it'll go north of South Florida based on what we're seeing right now.
That is hurricane specialist Jack Bevin from the National Hurricane Center, and he says that people in central eastern Florida and southeast Georgia could see some minor to moderate coastal flooding. But at this time of the season, the area most favorable for development is in the Gulf and the Western Caribbean. A teenager accused of sexually assaulting an elderly woman in Marion County. The sheriff's office there announced last night that a 14-year-old Jesse Stone had been arrested for an attack on a 91-year-old woman in Reddick. Stone allegedly entered the woman's home, beat her, and sexually battered her. Deputies say DNA evidence led them to Stone, and then he confessed to that crime. The Seminole Tribe can claim a victory in its effort to control gambling in the state of Florida. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a challenge to a 30-year deal the tribe had signed with the state. Two paramutual companies had sued to block the deal. The court did not give a reason for refusing to hear those arguments. Escambia County's supervisor of elections shedding some light on what led to the disqualification of a District 3 county commissioner candidate. Speaking on the Pensacola Morning News yesterday, Robert Bender said the qualifying period ended at noon last Friday. John Johnson came into the office just 11 minutes before that deadline. Bender said the first issue he noticed was that the Form 1 financial disclosure had been filled out rather than the Form 6.
Real quick about this is that it's through the Commission on Ethics We don't hand out the form. We don't do anything like that. The candidate selects the position they're running for on the website, and it automatically pulls the form. And so in this case, a lesser position than county commissioner was chosen.
And there was also an issue with the required funds, as it came in the form of a cashier's check. Bender said that was required to be written from the campaign account with a treasurer or deputy treasurer's signature. Well, the Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon charged in the death of his wife is now out of jail after posting bond yesterday. Dr. Ben Brown of Restore Plastic Surgery was arrested Monday on a charge of felony manslaughter by culpable negligence in the death of Hillary Brown.
Our detectives are trained in a lot of things, but medical practices they're not trained in. So not only did they have to get the probable cause together, they had to present that not only to the state attorney, but also to a physician like Dr. Oleski at the medical examiner and say, is this common practice? Is this normal? Is this not normal?
Sheriff Bob Johnson says the results of the autopsy from the District 1 medical examiner are still pending. And a Pace veteran celebrated a milestone birthday with a party at the Pensacola VA clinic yesterday. Tom Palmer turned 100 years old recently. At his party, Tom received a card from the Wallace Lake K-8 school, a card signed by the Pace High School football team. Also was presented with a very nice gift for he and his wife, a trip to the Allegheny Mountains along the East Coast, courtesy of Convenant Care. It is 5:35. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Breezy day today with winds coming in from the east. 40% chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. 50% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 degrees in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple has stopped issuing loans through Apple Pay Later, its Buy Now, Pay Later program that launched last year. The move comes after Apple said it would start allowing installment loans later this year in its Apple Pay checkout process through third-party companies, such as Affirm. Users with open loans will continue to have access to Apple Pay Later features to manage and pay their balance. Breaking news, Fisker has filed for bankruptcy roughly a year after releasing its first electric vehicle model. The filing marks the second time an automotive venture by car designer Henrik Fisker has gone belly up. The seven-year-old California-based company sought a cheaper and faster entry into the auto industry by outsourcing manufacturing, but struggled with the complexities of running a publicly held company. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 188, the NASDAQ up 168, and the S&P 500 up 41. That's Your Money Now.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 923 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, spend the evening with your neighbors at another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. Come for the art from local vendors, live music, food, and fun. See gallerynightpensacola.org. The Busch Light Fishing Rodeo is this weekend. Check out the action at Flounders Saturday, 2 to 7, and Sunday, noon to 6. See pensacolasports.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, of course, the big news out of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office was the arrest of the Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. The interview that I did yesterday with Sheriff Bob Johnson was prior to that incident taking place. And in fact, there was going to be a press conference, I presume, about that. They then canceled the press conference again, I presume, because he surrendered and there wasn't a need to have any press conference about it. Not really sure. Didn't ask. It's maybe a little bit all moot now, but that at the very end of my interview with Sheriff Johnson, I mentioned the press conference, and I wanted you to know some of the context about why that's all kind of what happened anyway. So, like I said, yesterday I talked with Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good to be here, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well. Congratulations on another 4 years.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I don't know if congratulations or condolences are in order.
Well, you made the choice to run, so that's on you.
True.
So since the last time, you actually been a couple weeks since you and I talked, but of course we were talking to Chief Deputy Randy Tift over the last couple weeks. You had a press conference, I think it was on last Tuesday, dealing with this horrible murder-suicide that took place in Garcon Point. And, I obviously we talked about what you said in the press conference. Part of this story that I was unclear about is the role that the, I guess, off-duty Okaloosa County deputy played in all of this. Because the way one person told me is that he ran into the house while shooting was taking place and rescued these kids. Is that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not. No. He did exactly what a citizen should do, because over here he's just a citizen. He's not a law enforcement officer. So basically, what happened was his doorbell rang. He opened the door, and there was a child there who had been shot. So he immediately called 911, got us en route, and started doing first aid to the child until the medical units got there and took custody of the child. So, yeah, he did not go to the house at all.
Okay, so the child came to his house.
Correct.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. And in this case, you had what the father had gone into the room where the mom and one of the kids was, and that's when all the violence started to take place. Is that right?
Yeah. All the kids were in one room with the mother. They were hoping he was intoxicated. They were hoping he would go to bed and they could come out. And obviously that didn't happen. He came in, grabbed the wife, drug her out in the hallway, and that's when everything happened.
Okay. And one of the kids who had been shot ran to the neighbor's house, a teenager, I assume, because the kids were somewhat older, right?
Yeah, I believe the youngest one was actually the one who had the gunshot wound.
Oh, good Lord. Ugh. And yeah. You said he was drunk, so alcohol was a factor in all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and apparently this had been going on for a while because, they were kind of used to it. They'd go in and lock themselves in a room or hide and he'd go sleep it off. And then, they'd come out. So, So unfortunately for that family, I mean, just what a tragedy for those children. I mean, it's just horrible.
Yeah, unbelievable. And you mentioned something that just made my kind of ears perk up. You say he's just an off-duty officer. I was under the impression that you all had reciprocity agreements typically with neighboring jurisdictions. Is that – maybe I misunderstand how that works, but
– Yeah, no, we do. Like if we call a deputy, if we have – let's say we have a riot in Milton and I can call Eric Aiden, the sheriff of Okaloosa, and he can send somebody – he can send his deputies.
Okay.
And they can enforce laws here. But when you're off-duty at your house, you don't – you're just a citizen. Now, he can stop a forcible felony. Any police officer from anywhere, if they see a forcible felony occurring, can stop that. without having to worry about jurisdiction issues. But, you know, he's got this, you know, little child with a gunshot wound on his porch. Obviously, he's not going to leave her there, yeah, run across the street, try to take care of business.
Okay. No, that makes more sense to me. And do they have more power to act than I would have? Because I could stop a threat to somebody's life or limb if I were in the situation. Obviously, they can do that because they're a citizen, too. But do they have more authority than that as an off-duty?
No, it's pretty much the exact same.
Okay.
Pretty much the exact same. They're just they're basically a citizen.
Okay, that's what I was just trying to make sure that's how I was understanding it.
Yeah, if I'm in Okaloosa County having dinner with my wife and I see a felony occurring, I can stop it, but it's as a citizen.
Got it. Okay. Very good. One other thing I just wanted to ask you briefly about, your chief deputy, Randy Tiff, showed up at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. And one of the objects that he talked about was the major safety problems because the bridge over the Blackwater into Milton is limited lanes and high traffic congestion, meaning that ambulances and your deputies have real problems responding to incidents. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, especially around, you know, in the afternoon hours or early morning hours, yeah, it can get pretty congested. And, I mean, the line can go back, you know, over a mile sometimes of traffic waiting to get through that red light right there at Willing Street and 90. So, yeah, it's definitely problematic. It would be a lot better to have four lanes going across. But, yeah, right now we're pretty restricted.
And I just don't remember that bridge. Do you exactly? Because it should be more familiar to me, but all of a sudden it's not. I don't want to say something that's false. Is it there's a little bit of shoulder, but I guess not enough. Not, I mean, it's like a bike lane size. So if there's traffic, there's just nowhere for your deputies to go through. Is that right?
Yeah, and there's no, you know, when you say bike lane, there's a place for pedestrians, but it's curbed, so okay, you can't go. With a vehicle, you can't pull over, you know, all the way because of the curb. So,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty, it can be stressful if you're needing to get into the city or get out of the city to get to East Milton in a hurry. There are definitely issues there.
So until that bridge gets improved, is there any solution to make that problem better?
No, I mean, not that I'm aware of. You have to go around. And when I say around, I mean, there's roads that can get you over there, but it will take a while.
Yeah, so that's not at all good when you're trying to respond to a crisis and somebody needs your help on one side or the other.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, plus, I mean, you know, that aside, the inconvenience factor of if you make an arrest on the wrong side of the river and then your deputies are out of commission for as long as it takes to get all the way around to the jail and then all the way back to on station, right? So
yeah, correct. Yep, it can take a while.
All right, very good. I mean, very bad, but at least I understand now. So one more reason to urge for the four-laning of that that road. Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, sir. See you again next week, sir. Thank you for the time.
Yep, take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:46 here on News Radio Pensacola. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon, Ben Brown, a little bit later on in the show. Actually, some very interesting things to share with you about that I probably wouldn't have noticed them much if I'd have been listening to the legislative review in a timely manner, but because I'm still kind of catching up on it, I'm like, oh, well, that's relevant. So we can, you know, sometimes you get lucky by procrastinating a little bit, or not procrastinating, but, you know, just having so much stuff that pushes your other duties aside a little bit. Watching every city council meeting that I can and every county commission meeting that I can does sometimes mean I don't get to them the next day. But I always like to say, you know, look, I may not get to it immediately, but I'll get to it. And you'll have
fun. I like the deep voice.
And you'll
have
fun when we get to it. It'll be good, thorough analysis, right? I'd rather do it well than do it immediately. 5:47 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. They take great tasting burgers seriously. Culver's Butter Burger begins as fresh, never frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. And for a limited time, Pretzel House Pub Burger is back. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is now available with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, You get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That's shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye. 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock, on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When your world is full of strange arrangements and gravity won't pull you through, you know you're missing out on something. Well, that something depends on you.
What year is it? What year is it? What grade school, junior high, or high school are you attending? Depending on your age. What fun are you planning with your friends after school? Yeah. Or maybe you're clubbing tonight. I don't know. 549 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I don't know. I'm feeling nostalgic today. I don't exactly know why, but you remember when, you know, we'd tell our parents or whatever, you know, hey, we're going out, and, you know, 16-year-olds go out clubbing. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember? I mean, we weren't drinking usually at the place, but you know, man, it was
we
a
were
world.
Going around Cordova Mall.
That's
in high
go.
School. Yep,
that's right. It's a whole different world. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David,
Russian President Vladimir Putin making his first visit to North Korea in more than two decades today. He'll spend 2 days in the country after being invited by Kim Jong Un. Affordable super
vacation to North Korea?
Isn't that where everybody dreams of going?
Well, okay, yes. In fairness, if you're friends with a dictator and he's got a country which I can only assume has some unbelievably beautiful parts,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
right? Absolutely.
You know, why not vacation in sunny North Korea? You know, get a timeshare. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You know,
very
like
undisturbed.
Then
there.
You don't
you
even
know,
have
not
to,
a lot of commercial can, development to get in your
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. Why buy your vacation when you can rent one? You know, obviously. Go on, David.
And affordable supersonic air travel might be available to Americans in the future. Boom Supersonic CEO Blake Scholl has opened a new jet production facility in North Carolina. He says his goal is to make it so Americans can fly anywhere in the world in 4 hours for $100. Also, McDonald's is now stopping their pilot program for AI-powered drive-through ordering. The tech will be removed from the roughly 100 stores it's been installed at the end of next month. Their partnership with IBM has ended.
All right, very good,
David. I didn't even know they were using AI. Well,
that's the goal. I mean, the goal is that you don't even know that the machine overlords are running your life and that you just sit back and enjoy it, you know, and gurgle on your 83-ounce soda and everything is fine, right? That's the goal. So, David, thanks so much for that. By the way, I botched my line. The line is, why rent your vacation when you can own one? That's what the timeshare people always sell you. But, you know, I delivered it with such authority and confidence that you laughed
you
anyway.
You did.
So be it. All right, fair enough. Hey, if you're 64, turning 65, or if you're retiring, you're going to change over onto Medicare, right? Right? Anyway, yeah, of course. And that's a new thing, and that's a different thing. And you've been doing health insurance your whole life the different way. And so you might have questions, and you might feel stressed out. And what happens is, you know, people will call and send you letters and emails because they're trying to basically, I don't know, but it feels like harassment. You know, I've talked to some people who are that age, and they're like, yeah, it's weird. Okay. Just call Ricky Stewart. She's a good friend of mine. Her whole family does insurance. She handles this one portion. You know, if you've got questions about what supplement is, you know, what is Advantage? What about prescription drugs? What is Medicaid? Does that apply to me? You know, all of that stuff. she can answer them very easy. We had so many listeners contact her and set up appointments and, you know, be like, oh, thank goodness. It's really that. And it is. It's very easy. But it helps to find the right person. And Ricky Stewart certainly is. Ricky Stewart Insurance, look her up online or give her a call, 341-2185. What else do we have going? We mentioned it briefly earlier in the show that the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, has now called for warning labels on social media. I wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times, and you know, the short version of what he wrote is, A, we don't have any good evidence that social media is good for young people, which I love that paradigm shift, right? Instead of having to prove that the thing is harmful, can you prove that it's good for them before we, you know, feed it to them or allow them to gorge themselves on it? Right, you wouldn't allow them to eat food that has not been tested safe. You, at least depending on their age, you might try to have some input on what ideas go into their head. Well, when it comes to social media platforms, you're not just talking about information. You know, you're talking about information presented in a certain way through a platform, which I think the best comparison is, you know how tobacco smoking is kind of not great for you just on its own? Like if you just got tobacco and you rolled up and you smoke, you know, we don't let kids smoke, right? Okay. But the problem was not the tobacco on its own. The problem was that the cigarette companies were mixing the tobacco with 100,000 other chemicals in an effort to create addiction. Right? I mean, why have they paid out all these billions of dollars over the years for penalties for trying to addict people to a thing that was going to kill them? Right? Okay. So you have the cigarette companies, you have the liability that they have suffered because of these choices. Well, the social media companies, there's kind of two parts to the social media problem. Part number one is the actual content, you know, the words and the pictures and the videos. And I think if we're all honest, the depending on what part of the internet you hang out on, you know, what part of the social media plans or apps you hang out on, you might think that the internet's a nice, safe place for kids. It's really not. Okay. Content alone wise, whether it's bullying or whether it's pornography or the prelude to trafficking or just adult and sordid material of 100,000 different flavors, right? That's the content side, right? If it were in movies or if it were in books, we'd be talking about those movies and books. Well, it's on social media, and we just go, you know, whatever. Give them a phone when they're 13 and let them figure it out for themselves. That's part one. But the other part is the platform itself, the way the platform uses biological and psychological facts about humans in order to create feedback loops and cultivate addiction-like responses and to stimulate portions of your brain that make you crave more and more, that get you to doom scroll endlessly and to feel happy, joy whenever you get a little heart or a like or a thumbs up or a share. You know, all of that stuff, okay? Not the content itself, not the words and pictures and videos, but the technology itself and the way that's designed. That's like all the chemicals that they've added to the cigarettes, right? Remember, if you remember the way that social media has been addressed in the state of Florida is they don't talk about names of companies. They talk about features of the platform as being the characteristics that put it in or out of a category of regulation or ban or age requirement. And that's the right approach because it's the features of the platform separately from the actual content on the posts that you've got to be concerned about because those features are ruining our children. You know, just ask yourself this question. How difficult would it be to get a group of 16-year-olds, okay, to give up their phones for a week? Just to give them to you for a week. Easy or hard, you think?
Oh, it's very hard. I'm just going to put that in there.
And if you're at a movie or at dinner or in the car or at home or, you know, like the phone is an extension of their arm.
It
right?
is.
And they don't even know they're doing it. It's so habitual. Well, why? Well, because they've got an addictive behavior response to the social media platform through habituation. And because all of their friends do it and everybody's smoking, and everybody's smoking these super addictive, cancer-killing cigarettes, I mean, it must be okay. And Vivek Murthy says, it's not okay. It's really, really not okay. It's really, really bad. At the very least, we have no evidence that it's good. And we do know it's really, really bad. So, you know, if you find a way to limit that exposure, that use, to cut back on it somehow, well, what do we know from cigarettes? It's not the best solution in the world, but warning labels on cigarettes do something. Maybe not a lot, but what they do is they... The reason I like warning labels is not because they're particularly effective at stopping the behavior, but what they do is they insert a pause, a kind of interruption in between the desire and consumption of a thing where your brain kind of registers a little bit of a, oh, somebody thinks there's a problem here. Somebody thinks there's an issue. Somebody, you know, and even if you make fun of the warning labels, which that's very common, your brain still learns that there's something weird here. You know that maybe there is a reason to ask the question whether this is good or not. And until you get that, until you have some kind of a pause in the cognitive space, it's very hard to get a foothold in persuading people the thing might be bad for them. How can you persuade something's bad for them if you can't even get them to ask the question of whether there might be something bad about it? You follow? So I don't think this is going to solve a whole lot initially, but it kind of creates the space cognitively to maybe make progress.
Listen on air.